Welcome back, everyone. This is Unbound, episode 5. On Saturday night, Mama asks me about the scratches on my hand, and I tell her about the delicious blackberry cobbler Aunt Tempe made. Worth every scratch, I lie. Mama looks like she don't believe me, so I hurry and tell her about the blackberry jam. Only now I know not to eat too much, I say. Mama laughs, both of us remembering when I first discovered the wild berries what grow near the swamp. I ate so many, my belly hurt for days. I miss my girl, Mama says, but I was happy you was working in the big house and getting to eat good food. She snuggles closer. I was worried about how the missus would treat you. She's always been a mean one. Through the open window, soft moonlight casts a white shadow on Mama's sorrowing face. I don't like lying to Mama, but telling her the truth would be worse. Seems I'm just falling asleep when Mama shakes me awake. Almost daylight, sweet baby. Time to go back. She opens the cabin door to watch me leave, like always. Like always, she makes me promise to mind the missus and don't talk back. Like always, I hold her tight and promise. Only this time, I know my promising's a lie, 'cause I already broke it. Mama's holding me tight, but a shameful sadness squeezes between us. Outside, the stars is dangling in the purple darkness. Not a trail of ladle stars, but loose stars, runaway stars, stars too stubborn to disappear. Shame and sadness cling to my heart as I climb the hill, and I wonder if some poor slave's counting on a loose star's fearless flight. Is some poor slave following its defiant gleam all the way to freedom? What if that slave was me? Only way to shake my shame is by making myself a new promise to mind all the rules. If I see a weevil hiding in a carrot or a worm napping in a sweet tater, I'll flick it away without making a peep. If the missus is cross or having one of her headaches, I'll keep my eyes down and let her words thrash me without once looking up or making a sound. It's almost harvest time, and Aunt Tempe's been giving me extra warnings. Master Allen'll be fretting, and the missus'll be fussing, she says. Seems harvest time's the perfect time to start a new promise. I won't ever try to please Master Allen and the missus like Aunt Tempe does, but I'll make Mama happy by helping best I can and staying out of trouble, especially at harvest time. On the first day of the harvest, heavy rains pound the roof and slosh in the yard. Master Allen is up early.
Harvesting will make a body sick, Aunt Tempe says, grinding ginger and throwing it into a pot of boiling water. Master Allen will be worried about his tender tobacco getting moldy. Soon enough, he'll be coming in here looking for something to keep a body working the field, even if they are sick.
We hear Master Allen's footsteps in the walkway, and Aunt Tempe looks at me with her knowing eyes.
Tempe,
Master Allen says, not noticing me at all.
You need to grind.
The missus comes in looking like she's seen the swamp witch.
We've more problems than wet tobacco and sick field hands, she says, her voice sputtering like fat on fire. Jordan has run away.
Master Allen's sharp blue eyes flash, and he hurries out. The missus follows behind him, but Aunt Tempe tells me to keep peeling and mashing.
They still going to eat, she says.
Did Jordan really run away? I ask, worrying about the whipping he'll get when Master Allen finds him.
Rain's best time for running. Dogs can't catch your scent, Aunt Tempe whispers.
Works better in peppering your tracks.
My stomach's fluttering with worries about Jordan, but Aunt Tempe goes right on grinding knots of ginger. all those secrets she shares with Jordan. And still, she don't care about nothing but pleasing Master Allen. Where is her heart? I don't stop mashing, but I thank the good Lord for sending rain, and pray he remembered to leave a star lingering somewhere in the swampy sky. Uncle Moses brings Master Allen his fritters, and Anna serves the missus. It's still raining midday, and my worries and wonderings bounce back and forth from Jordan to Mama to Uncle Jim and all the folks what's working in the fields, breathing the revolting smell of wet tobacco. Aunt Tempe's showing me how to cut a hog for pickling. Feet in one pot, ears and nose in another. When the missus comes into the kitchen. As you know, she says, her eyes darting round the room, like Jordan's hiding in the pots, and scowling at me like I put him there. Jordan has run away. I've no doubt he will be back, but until he returns, we will get by in the dining room with a shift of duties. Her eyes fix on me and dance a little. A ghostly cold shivers up my spine. Grace, you will take Jordan's place. She looks at Aunt Tempe. Grace has been coddled long enough. She's old enough to do real work. She looks at me like she's smelling stinky bugs. Mind you, Jordan's white gloves won't fit, so clean under those nails before you touch my dinner plates. That afternoon, Aunt Tempe scrubs my hands with a corn cob, but no matter how hard she brushes, my fingers don't seem clean enough. Why can't they get their own food? I ask, even though I already know. White folks in the big house won't be happy lest they have people like me to boss around. Aunt Tempe ignores me and goes on scrubbing and inspecting. They can't cook or clean or even dress themselves, and they's not strong enough to work in the fields or even carry a plate of crab cakes to the table. Except for Miss Charlotte, they's all mean as cottonmouths and not as smart. Aunt Tempe hushes me. Can't be thinking that way, she says, or you is just as bad as them. Judging folks by the color of their skin is wrong, no matter who's doing the judging. She turns my hands over. You stand tall and don't let the missus see you shaking, she says. And one more thing. Master Allen likes to think he's the only one with thoughts behind his eyes. So don't be showing him you understand more than what he tells you. It's not fair, I say, worrying how long I can keep my thoughts from spilling again. Aunt Tempe dries my hands with her apron. Grace, there's plenty of white folks like Miss Charlotte. Plenty of white folks what's kind, what know keeping slaves is wrong. Jordan says there's a white folk what helped hide him. Says up north there's even a few what's working to get laws changed. She takes a deep breath and lets it out slow. Times is changing, Grace. Jordan says soon the whole world's going to wake up. Soon the whole world's going to see we all got the same blood running rivers inside us. Thinking of Jordan makes us both quiet. Aunt Tempe turns my hands over to inspect them one more time. You just got to pray that soon comes soon, she finally says. For the rest of the day, I try to pray for Jordan and the folks working in the field, but I just keep worrying about myself. By dinner time, my legs and arms is shaking. Stand tall, Aunt Tempe says, handing me the soup tureen. I take a deep breath and straighten my back like I seen Jordan do. I walk right into the dining room and place the barley soup in the middle of the table. Real careful, I lift the lid and place it upside down on the sideboard like Aunt Tempe showed me. The whole time, the missus is watching, waiting for me to make a spill. Real slow, I dip the fancy white ladle into the thick brown soup. I pour a single scoop into each empty bowl. Grace, be careful, the missus says, These dishes come all the way from England. They are irreplaceable.
Yes, ma'am, I say, and hope the missus don't see my hand quivering like a cat's tail.
When I'm done pouring, I step back. I stand straight and tall, like a ribbon's pulling my neck to the ceiling. I stare straight ahead without blinking, like my eyelids is stitched to my brows. Still, as a block of stone, I stand. But inside me, thoughts crash and clatter. Outside my chattering mind, the only sounds is the scratch of silver spoons scraping the fancy bowls what come all the way from England. Master Allen don't say a word, neither do the missus. Aunt Tempy's barley soup smells so good, my stomach starts grumbling real loud. But Master Allen and the missus is too busy scraping, too busy sipping and sopping to hear my empty stomach.
Bring out the next course, Grace,
Master Allen finally says. I start into the kitchen, but the missus stops me.
Grace, clear away the tureen and these used dishes. Civilized people keep a civilized table.
Fear shimmies up my spine, but then I hear a voice. Not a speaking voice, but a voice inside me. They's no better than you, the voice says. And I think Mama must be calling on the good Lord to watch over me. A courage comes on me, like angel wings is lifting me up and carrying me, shivers and all. After Master Allen is stuffed with beef and taters, he sits back in his chair and starts talking to the missus like I'm not there.
I'll wait another day. He'll come back. He'll be tired, wet, and hungry. He'll come back.
He might have friends to help him get away, the missus says. Perhaps an advertisement placed in a more timely manner would be prudent.
Master Allen looks up. His eyes cut the air like shards of blue glass.
I said I'll wait another day.
The missus stands up.
Grace, she snaps. Ask Anna what happened to slaves who slouch.
She puts her hand to her head.
I believe Anna is in the kitchen. Tell her to come upstairs immediately. I feel a headache coming on.
I do as the missus says, without saying a word. But I wonder if her head only aches so she can ballyrag Anna.